Hello, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Horatio, and I welcome you to another episode of the Operator Podcast, a podcast that really has no schedule, and I need to stop talking about a schedule, because it's just not true. It's lies and damn lies. Don't trust me. Anyway, today's topic is a rather different one. I tend to stray away from political or social questions, mostly because I am more concerned with the conditions of the possibility for any kind of social or political concerns. I'm very, very interested in the idea that there may be some transcendental structures of human experience that allows any kind of political activity to take place. So I want to figure those out. Those are philosophical in nature, or the kind of philosophy that I'm more attracted to. But sometimes we have to sort of, you know, get into the mud, into the thickets and weeds when the situation calls for it. And I don't necessarily think that the situation calls for it, you know, but I think it is an interesting topic, and it's been something that I've been thinking for several years now. And it's basically the responsibility that we have as consumers of art. I first encountered this question when I listened to a Nas album, as it currently is. That album is called Untitled. He wasn't able to call the album the way that he wanted to call it. I think, if I remember correctly from my days on Deaf Sounds and underground internet hip-hop community news sites from 10 years ago when I was really into the scene, I think the rationale was like Walmart and Target, which surprisingly, or maybe not surprisingly, if you think about it a little bit, they are like the largest CD retailers. So they would not allow Nas to call his album what he wanted to call it. You know, they would refuse to sell the album if he named it the N-word, right? That's what he wanted to call it. Because if you go into that album, he's really dealing with this issue of blackness in all different varieties. So you have a little bit of like Pan-Africanism in there, African futurism, pessimism. You have the black experience as it is in inner city neighborhoods, especially Queens Get the Money. That's like very descriptive of a possible experience one may have there. But he also has, like, you know, all different aspects of it. And one of the songs, and it struck me when I listened to it, it's called Testify. And it's basically a plea or an inquiry or a sort of repudiation of the listeners of the album. Like, you usually don't call out your listeners as an artist. You want them to enjoy the album. You want them to think. But to put them on trial, to put them at the stand, will they testify? Will they bear witness to you when shit gets real? That's what Nas wanted to sort of put out in the air in that song. It's a very aggressive and very violent song. He talks about murdering KKK members. He talks about, you know, getting some sort of satisfaction of that, about being put on trial for murder. And the question that he wants to pose is that, okay, let's say if I actually did this, or someone, you know, who provides some sort of entertainment to you, what if they did this? Would you still be there for them? Will you testify for them? Will you be a character witness for them? Will you stand up for the artist and not back away from what they've done? Will you stand there for them? And right now, you know, Nas is in some hot water, you know, looking back in his album, because, you know, as much as it was annoying to hear him talk about Khalees in his albums, because he would always reference his wife, and, you know, that's nice once in a while, sure, that's cute, like, repeatedly, annoying. But now, it's sort of, they got a divorce, and there's been like this brutal custody battle going on, and now like allegations of spousal abuse has been sort of accused, right? Or sort of been intimated. That's troubling. That's very troubling because now, instead of a hypothetical situation where the song Testify does it, now we have an actual real life situation where do we as the audience have the ability to enjoy the music despite the artist being immoral or a criminal or a spousal abuser or something? There's something ethically wrong with this person. Or they've done something so wrong that now it really brings into question whether we should support this person by giving them money, by going to their concerts, by listening, by standing for them, right? It's an interesting question. Going back to the Nas song, Nas takes it a little, takes it a step further and really makes it about race, because a lot of his audience is, or it's race slash socioeconomic status, because he doesn't really say who, but we all know who. Nas tells the listener, you buy, I'm trying to remember the line, but like, you buy my album, you go to concerts, and you sing ho and shit. But then when the real situation happens, will you be there to ride with me? Or something like that. Something verbatim, something like that. I'm paraphrasing here. But basically what they're saying is like, the audience that usually buys my albums, right? The audience that usually goes to Walmart or goes to Target and pays, I think it was like $20 back then, who pays that amount of money is usually middle America or white suburbia or like the demographic that, technically Nas's album is not really geared towards. But he knows that they're gonna buy the album regardless because he's Nas. For they like his music, it might be cool to like Nas, whatever the excuse or reason might be. He knows that they're buying his album, they're paying him, so in that sense they're supporting him. And then they go to their concerts and they're very supportive, and because of their affiliation to Nas, they feel like they can sing ho and shit, they feel like they're a part of the culture. They're able to experience that. They pay their $20. So not only. So yeah, so not only do they get access, they're paying for the music, they're enjoying it, but they're getting this, there's a sense where they pay for the culture as well. And Nas sees that, and he's like, okay, fine, if you're gonna do that, then you have to be responsible for the culture as well. So in that sense, with all these sort of police shootings and etc., I feel like he would say, if you're down for this aspect, if you're down for hip hop, if you're down for my rhymes, why aren't you down to protest that as well? So in a sense, Nas really in that song creates or is creating a demand for responsibility for the art that we consume. And it goes both ways. Do we have a responsibility to do what the artist is telling us? And then do we have a responsibility to support the artist even if they do terrible things? Because in that song, Nas is literally talking about killing the Grand Master of the KKK. Right? So now I've been thinking about this idea or situation for years now. Years, like literally years, and it's always bothered me, and especially in this time, in this relevant time with Twitter and the sort of Me Too movement and all that other thing, the accountability for art and entertainment is coming back to the public sphere. So you saw all of these directors and actors and producers being called out, and now when I watch like I think The Pianist, which is one of my favorite movies. It's double weird because I think that's a Weinstein movie, actually. I think it is. I think it is. That's fucked up. I'm gonna look that up. I think that is. The pianist. I think it is a Weinstein movie. Gee, that would. You know, hold on. Give me a second. Distributed focus pictures. Okay, never mind. No. Okay. Thank God. But regardless, you know, Roman Polanski still did horrible shit. So is there a guilt there? Or is there a guilt imposed on me for enjoying this, like, great movie? If I bracketed away all the other, you know, factual background stuff of the actual people who played the roles and direct, it's a great movie. I love it. It's inspiring. It tells a true story. There's moments of, like, intense sadness and heroics, and, like, the music is wonderful. But then, you know, how long can I bracket that for? Until I recognize that the director, Roman Polanski, did these horrible things, right? He abused this young child. And then it sort of happens in philosophy as well, right? Maybe some people think philosophy is an art, maybe not, but whatever. But maybe, am I, as a philosopher, am I responsible for the personal life of the philosopher? So, for example, Heidegger and his Nazism, am I responsible? Each time, and do I bear, should I feel a burden each time I use this philosophy to get across some sort of point of mine? When I use him, when I cite him, when I criticize him, when I elaborate on him, even though I don't find Nazism in his philosophy, I know he was a Nazi officially for a year. Like, officially for a year. There's, like, no doubt about it. And plus, he was a well-known anti-Semite. Undeniable. Terrible person. But his philosophy was remarkable. It did a lot. Am I responsible for that as well? What about Kant? Although, I just read a pretty good article sort of dealing with this issue of Kant's supposed racism. Does he say horrible shit? Yes. Am I responsible for that as well? Aristotle says some horrible shit about women. Hegel does too. They all, like, am I responsible for that? And now, the reason why I bring up this scenario situation, or this, you know, line of thinking, goddamn Kanye. I love Kanye's music. I enjoy it deeply. I listen to it all the time. Mostly because, you know, we have a sort of similar background. We're both from Chicago. So when he talks about similar things that I know of, I can relate to it. And there hasn't been anything too crazy in his music and his albums that deserves a repudiation. I'm sure he's selfish, egotistical, and sometimes misogynist, if you can take it that way. But not in such a harmful and destructive way. Well, it is harmful and destructive because it is, you know, just continuing it. We'll bracket that question. That's another question. We'll deal with that later. But now, sort of, Kanye's doing this Kanye thing. So each time he's going to drop some new music, he goes and does the most controversial thing he can do so that his album sells. He does this. It's a cynical viewpoint, and I think it's true. You know, back in the day when he called, you know, George Bush hates black people, his album dropped. He was at the height of his fame. Yeah, The Life of Pablo was just this craziness of him going nuts on Twitter, of him just mixing up and cutting and changing and moving around the album. You never knew what was up. When the Taylor Swift thing happened, he capitalized it with Runaway, and that was, like, a great album. So he does this all the time, but I think this time I have a feeling that he's taking things too far by coming out as a vocal Trump sympathizer. I think politically, that's a bridge too far. I think that's a bridge too far. And not necessarily because I have an issue with him holding opinions that are different than mine, right? Actually, most of the artists hold different opinions than their mine. Actually, almost every single other human being has different opinions than me. So I don't, it's not that he should have it, but it's that the ones, the Trumpian ideals are so pernicious, have no ethical or moral weight to them. And the fact that he's looking up to him, that he's wearing the Make America hat, Make America Great hat again, which has become a sort of symbol of hate and oppression and of terror for some people, that he's wearing it. And then I think last night I heard, like, I can't even listen to his music anymore. It's so repulsive. He put out a song last night and saying that I took the Make America Great hat again and I put it on, and then I changed the definition of it, and it's all about love and peace. So I changed. No, you didn't, Kanye. You did not change the definition of that hat. That hat has a certain symbolic meaning. It means that this country deserves to be run by, to be given over to a certain demographic, a certain people, and that everyone else is just ruining it. That's what that hat means. It doesn't mean love. It doesn't mean prosperity. It doesn't mean, you know, solidarity. It doesn't mean that. But he's talking in this way, in such a way that he actually believes it, and he's doing so much damage to it. And he wants to play both sides of the field, right? He wants to play the Hegelian skeptic of, oh no, I mean this. Oh no, I don't actually mean this. I mean something else. Oh, no, no, I mean this. I mean something else. I put on the hat, but the hat, it doesn't mean what you think it means. It means something else. And then when you call him out on that, he's like, no, I don't mean that. I mean something else. And you can never grab onto him. So what he's doing is he's portraying an image of support for the president that's going to be used for propaganda, to reify these oppressive structures of power. And he's just being a fool. And then Chance is an idiot too. Chance the Rapper, you know, that wasn't the debate that was going on. When he said that not all black people are Democrats, of course not. They don't have to be. But that wasn't the debate. Nobody's saying that's a false argument. Nobody was saying, oh, all black people have to vote for Hillary Clinton. That's not true. That's like, nobody was saying that. And the people who are saying that are wrong and are dumb. So I'm very, very disappointed in these musical figures because I enjoy their art. I enjoy their music. I still do. And I will continue to enjoy their music. But again, this question of responsibility as a consumer, consumer, and don't think of this as consumer in terms of like economics, but just a consumer of art, that I take it up, that I make it a part of my life. That's the question. And I don't have an answer. I feel like, you know, there's so many segments where I can have a limit, a boundary where I won't pass. But then I question that boundary and say, well, if you have a boundary here, why aren't you applying the same logic over here? Are they not the same? Are they different? Or are they same? Or maybe I'm just being hypocritical. I'm going to keep this short because I really just want to, I want to put this out in the air. And I would love to hear what you all think. Because I thought about this question for at least 4 years. At least 4 to 5 years. And it showed up in so many variations of it, right? So many variations. In philosophy, am I responsible for these thinkers? In books, am I responsible? Should I support thinkers? Is there a separation? Is there not a separation? You know, if this is a terrible person and I'm giving them money, is that support? Even though if I don't support their message, and this can continue on and on and on. Do I give money to this clothing company, even though they're like using slave labor or whatever? Or maybe this charity that's not giving as much money as this other charity is. So basically, the biggest philosophical question that I can ask: are we inherently to be held accountable for our actions? Should we? Like, in every single aspect of our lives. And this reminds me a lot of Kierkegaard's discussion in Fear and Trembling. That being social, being with the other, means absolute, total subsumption under the ethical, under the universal. That all your actions, they're not private. All of them are public. All of them are going to be held accountable. And if we give up something like faith, right, we will never have a moment for the individual, for isolation, for reflection. We give that up. And maybe this is why I'm not attracted to political, social, practical philosophy, because the theoretical side of me kind of wants to recognize that, you know, it's a picking and choosing. It's a cherry picking sometimes. Maybe it's all, maybe it's none. And if we're going to have distinctions, maybe it's here, maybe it's not there. How do we figure that out? I don't know. So I'm going to end this here. I hope you enjoyed it, at least to get you thinking a little bit. Follow me on the, at the Aperia Podcast on Twitter. Aperia Podcast on Twitter, all one word. All right, till later.